Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 29th of August. A fantasy podcast leads to interesting questions about the Utah Jazz. Who has the leverage on the Kyrie Irving deal? Is it a big man's league when everyone talks speed and space? And an interesting little exercise over on FanRag Sports. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider, bringing you your insight on the Utah Jazz with access and expertise that nobody else can match. Hope you're doing great. Glad to have you aboard. We are kind of in this off-season, sort of sometimes podcasting thing rather than a regular every day. I hope that's all right with you, but it's sure fun to talk to you again. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. With the promo code LOJAZZ, you get $20 back on your first purchase. And it's also brought to you today by Murdoch Hyundai. The guys at 4646 South State Street in Murray, and Murdoch Hyundai, also in Logan, also in Linden. I'm driving the Tucson right now. I've driven the Santa Fe before that. Been super impressed by Hyundai and all that's going on with that. So let's get right down to the show today. I do want to send, obviously, our thoughts to all the people in Houston. I did talk to somebody who really questions whether or not the flooding in downtown Houston will be significant enough that the Rockets will have to do what the New Orleans Pelicans did for the year when they went to Oklahoma City and played their games somewhere other than Houston for a considerable amount of time. This was not an expert. This was not a front office person. But what was eye-opening to me about that is this is somebody who understands Houston and knows Houston and basically is just trying to say to me that the damage is going to be so significant and out throughout the city that that was their thought. And this is someone who's around there. So I mean that to kind of exemplify the magnitude, which is perfectly clear to all of us of what is going on. All right, let us start with, I'm going to start with Kyrie, then move to kind of this fantasy podcast I did with Josh Lloyd, which is Locked On Fantasy Basketball, and you can catch all of it if you want to on his great show. And then head over to a few other interesting news pieces that have been written recently. There's a lot of great stuff continuing to go on. But the Kyrie deal comes up, and the reason I want to start with it is because tomorrow is the deadline on that. So if they're going to void this trade, it has to be voided by Wednesday. This cannot go on forever. I was listening to Locked On Celtics today. Jay King and John Corrales do an amazing job, and they were talking about it as though they really felt that the Celtics have the leverage. It's interesting to me. I really think the Cavaliers have all the leverage here. So if this trade gets voided, the Cavaliers have Kyrie Irving back, and they end up trading Kyrie Irving probably in the next 12 to 24 hours to either Phoenix or Milwaukee, and because those are the rumored teams. And the other thing I would point out on that is that they also have had these talks. First, they've already had these talks. So it's not like they suddenly have to renew talks. Kyrie Irving already didn't want to be there. There's nothing new about that. They haven't damaged that relationship any more than they already have. And they seem to have more than one suitor for Kyrie Irving. So it's not as though the one team, that there, let's say there were two teams and that's it, that were interested in Kyrie Irving, and they traded to one of them, and that got voided. Well, then the other team's like, hey, you got no place else to go. But it sounds like they could go to Milwaukee. It sounds like they could go to Phoenix and get some sort of deals. Probably not quite as good as what they had. And that was very much the feeling by Locked On Celtics, is that the Celtics gave away so much that there, it seems unlikely that the Cavaliers could get that much again. Maybe not. Maybe with what just took place in that trade, it sets the standard now for everyone else's. Now, on the flip side, I look at the Celtics, and the Celtics would have to take back Isaiah Thomas, who's a free agent at the end of the year, who they basically just said, we don't want to pay you, so we're going to trade you. You had a perfect relationship with him. He was the fan favorite, and now you just traded him. They'd have to bring back Jay Crowder, who already has been vocal and upset about the fact that he constantly is being replaced, whether it's by Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, or Gordon Hayward. And now all of a sudden, and that's the reason they moved him. You know, as time went on, you start looking at their roster. They moved Jay Crowder so that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could get time. Well, now all of a sudden you'd have to bring him back. He's got to wonder what his role is. Seems to me that you have a far more significant problem in the Boston locker room of what's going on. Now, John Corrales says, hey, Brad Stevens is great at this, and he'll be able to iron it out, and John might be right on Locked On Celtics. But my feeling on this, at least a differing point of view to them, is that Cleveland has all the leverage right now. That Cleveland Cleveland comes out here and says, hey, we're going to void this trade unless you give us Jason Tatum, unless you give us Jaylen Brown. And if Boston says, sorry, we're not going to do that, they suddenly have a locker room issue that seems fairly significant to me. Fairly significant. So that's my feeling on that. The Las Vegas Superbook, which is generally thought of as one of the best, is releasing the over-under on wins right this very second for the NBA. They're doing it right this very second. So that'll be a little that's coming down as we speak, and I'll get to that here in just 1 second. So we'll add that into the show today. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. I think I've told this story a few times, but just to give it to you again. So I got reached out by the Chase Marketing Group, and they said, hey, the guys at Murdoch really like your work, and they'd like to have you consider having you work with them, and you know, I'd like to get you to meet those guys and stuff like that. And I was like, right, great. And for which dealership? And they said, the Hyundai dealership. And at that time, I got to tell you, I didn't even know that Hyundai rhymed with Sunday. I wasn't really sure about things. So I went down there and met with the Murdoch family first. Super down to the earth, good, great Utah family. Just terrific. And then the next thing, I drove off with a Santa Fe Sport and experienced it and was blown away. Blown away by what you could get for the dollars. I've said this, I never ever thought in my lifetime that I would ever get my son, who's going to turn 16 next year, a new car. I would just never get, but I suddenly drove the Santa Fe with all of its safety features and how many and what it had, and thought to myself, well, maybe I would. I mean, whether it's the recognition of cars in your blind spot, whether it's the cruise control that has a distance set between you and the car in front of you, they have great safety ratings across the board. I've been really, truly blown away by my experience with Hyundai so far. And that has been, that's been the cool thing. I'm not surprised at all that you have somebody as good as the Murdoch family in Utah. I've gotten to know them. I really like them. That's been very pleasing to me. But the car value of the Hyundai has blown me away. And for August, which you have like two more days to do this, Murdoch family is celebrating their 91st year in business. They are giving you the employee discount rate. So what you get, you always get the America's Best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty with Hyundai Assurance. But you now also get $6,000 off on either a Tucson or a Santa Fe, and you get oil changes for life, car washes, and brakes for life. That's all on top of that incredible Hyundai Assurance. So check it out, MurdochHyundai.com, or visit Murdoch Hyundai in Linden, Logan, or say hi to Blake for me in Murray. All right, let's get to it. Vegas lines. This is not a – I probably should wait a second to really dig into this, but let's see what they – they came out with the Jazz at 40.5. I'm going over on that. The Vegas line on the Jazz this year from the Las Vegas Superbook is 40.5. I'm telling you, I'm over. And I'm over. I'm over because of the fact. I'm over because of the defense. And I'm over because if the defense is top three, you win 45 games. And the defense last year was top three and is better this year. Right? I think the defense is better this year than it was a year ago. Now, the offense is not, which often makes it going to be harder for everyone defensively. The West looks like this. I'm guessing. I'm doing this right as it happens. Golden State at 67.5. Let's see if I get this in the right order. This would be my – I'm just going to tell you who – I would have, I think, Houston at 2 at 55. They have them at 55.5. I don't like what the Spurs have done in the offseason, but I'm probably holding the Spurs at 3. They're at 54.5. Minnesota or Oklahoma City in my book are next. I'm going to go Oklahoma City. Minnesota's inability to space the floor concerns me. They have Oklahoma City at 51.5. Minnesota is at 48.5, so that matches my prediction. Then our next group is the Clippers, Denver, Utah, New Orleans, Portland. There's so many question marks on all of those teams. This is live, unprepared podcasting. We know Utah's at 40.5. New Orleans and Portland, Solomon Hill out for the year already. I actually might take, well, they lost Alan Crabb for Portland. Clippers, boy, Blake Griffin's good. The best player remaining is Anthony Davis. The best defense of that group is Utah. The best offense of that group is probably Portland or Denver. I think some of the Denver love is a little out of control. I'm not sure I'm going over 44 on anyone in this group. I'm going to guess that Vegas took the Clippers next. But I'm not in love with that. Clippers are at 43.5, so that matches nobody over 44. Let's go Denver. And I know the Jazz are at 40.5, so I'm cheating a little. They have Denver at 45.5, so they have Denver above the Clippers. I mean, I did not love the Paul Millsap signing as much as everyone. I thought Paul really slipped last year. I personally have a feeling on players that are undersized that when they start to slip, they fall off the map, and I'm concerned that he's undersized a bit. I don't believe in end-of-the-season surges, which is what Denver did last year. I do believe in Jokic. But Denver was the fifth best offense in the league last year and 29th defense. Utah is going to be better than the fifth best offense, and I think better than the fifth best defense and better than the 29th ranked offense, aren't they? I don't know. I feel like I'm going to need someone to talk me into Denver. All right, I would go Portland next, considering where I know where Utah's number is. Portland's at 42.5. Jazz at 40.5. By the way, remember when the schedule came out and I talked about the fact that I didn't like our schedule? We lost three wins, and that might be the difference between us making the playoffs or not. I think that shows it right there. You know, if you missed it earlier, the problem, the Jazz play the four of the five worst teams in the Western Conference, only play them three times. So they lost four potentially winnable games. The New Orleans Pelicans are at 39.5. Jazz are at 40.5. Other Western Conference teams, Dallas is at 35.5. The Lakers are at 33.5. The Grizzlies are at 37.5. Pelicans are at 39.5, we just said. Phoenix is at 28.5. Sacramento is at 28.5. And that's it. So they are projecting the Jazz ninth at 40.5. With Portland getting in at 42.5. Denver at the sixth spot. Clippers at the seventh. Portland at eighth. I do feel like Utah is being underplayed a little bit here. They've got to find a way to score, but I think the defense could be so good. So good. Atlanta last year was 27th in the league, and they now they played in the East. 27th in the league offensively, fourth defensively, and won 43 games. Now maybe that's 41 in the West next year. There are, what you've got is a vast improvement in Denver, in Minnesota, and in Oklahoma City, which are all teams that are Jazz divisional opponents. It's interesting this comes out today before we know the status of the trade, right? I don't know how that changes. Is this assuming that Kyrie Irving's on Boston? Is this assuming Kyrie? Right, I don't know. The East, by the way, just so you're, since I'm sure you're wondering, they have Boston at 56.5, Cleveland at 53.5. So they have Washington at 47.5, Toronto at 48.5. Milwaukee would probably be the only other team that would compete. And they're at 47.5, tied with Washington for 4 and 5. Gosh only knows who the next teams are in the Eastern Conference. Charlotte is at 42.5. Is that the only, and they have Philadelphia at 42.5 in Vegas. Wow. And Miami at 43.5. So that's their playoff teams. They have the final playoff team at 42.5. Wow. Philadelphia at 42.5. That's an eye-opener. Today's show brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one place for you to get and buy tickets to any theater event, any sporting event, any college football, any pro football, or any upcoming NBA game. All you have to do right now is go to your phone and download the SeatGeek app on iTunes or Android or however you might do it, and you will end up getting the best way to buy tickets to any event. First off, the reason to use SeatGeek is because of the fact that SeatGeek compiles all of the tickets in one spot for you. So if I want to see Billy Joel November 29th at Vivint Smart Home Arena, I look down and I see that the tickets range from $85, and I click on it and it looks and it searches it for me, and it gives me ticket scores, and there's a seats in row 29, three tickets with a ticket score of 90. What's a ticket score? SeatGeek's ticket score is what I like best about SeatGeek. It gives you a rating of every ticket, so if you don't know the building and you don't know where you are, it tells you which ticket has got the best value out there. So there's row 29. It gives me a little view of where that is. It tells me what the ticket price is, and boom, it's $80, and I can go see Billy Joel. And once I do it, then I have it secured, and it's on my phone. It's all taken care of. And if you've entered the promo code LOJAZZ, you're getting $20 back after your first purchase. That's $20 back after your first purchase. SeatGeek, the number one place to get your tickets. It's what I'm using for mine. You should use it for yours as well. All right. I feel like I should save some of this for later in the week. We're going to do a Thursday show that is a Facebook Live show, so there's probably not that much room. But it was interesting. I did a fantasy podcast with Locked On Fantasy Basketball for you that is available with Josh Lloyd. Some interesting things came up. And one was like, he asked me, if you're drafting a breakout player, who was it? The other one is that they were really low on Rodney Hood. I said, thinking that Rodney Hood was kind of established, he'd be the go-to guy, I said Donovan Mitchell. That I just think this guy's going to force his way into the rotation. But then it got complicated. How? Where are those minutes coming from? Rubio, Hood, Mitchell, Exum are dividing 96 minutes. And what happens if Alec Burks is healthy? So how are you finding the minutes? So let's say Mitchell is going to start the year playing 22 in October, and then 24 in November, and 26 by December, and you know maybe he's playing 28 by January, February, March, April. Like where are all those minutes coming from? Because if Rodney's playing 30 and Rubio's playing 30, and Donovan Mitchell plays 28, that's 88 of the 96 minutes. Dante Exum better have an awfully good offseason and be ready to play. And Donovan Mitchell may not be able to do exactly what I'm saying. That may be too much. It may start at 16, and then it goes to 18, and then it goes to 24. Who knows? But the fact is that I do think Donovan Mitchell will force his way onto the floor. The other one to me is I love something that Dennis Lindsay's done. The way guys get hurt often is you're asking them to play overmatched. And I think that he, you know, he's over, when you're talking about being overmatched, Rodney Hood, 32 minutes a night, I think might be too many. Joe Ingles, more than 26 minutes a night, might be too many. Tabo Cephalosa, 30 whatever years old, might be too many. And so what I think the answer on a bunch of these is the fact that Jazz have such depth. It'll be hard for Quinn and hard for some players to sometimes get a rhythm. But in regards to fantasy also, I thought it probably means that these aren't great picks. But I'm not sure that Rodney, you really, as much as we're saying, okay, we're going to turn the offense over to Rodney and see what he's able to do, I'm not sure that I want Rodney Hood playing more than 27 minutes he played last year. For his own health, I want 82 games out of Rodney Hood. He played 32 the year before and played 79 games. So maybe he's up to that. Maybe that's fine. And if he's playing 30, now this is where things get really interesting. If he's playing 32 minutes and Ricky Rubio, who has generally the last 2 years been healthy at 30, 31 minutes, well, that's 63 of the 96 minutes. Now there's only 33 minutes left in that. So Donovan Mitchell and Dante Exum are sharing that. If Mitchell does what I think, which is forces himself onto the floor for more than 20 minutes a night, there just aren't a million minutes, a lot of time left there. Now there's always injuries and time becomes available. Or we begin to see some lineups from the Jazz where they start playing smaller. Where do you suddenly get Exum, Mitchell, and Rubio on the floor together? Do you get Exum, Mitchell, and Hood on the floor together and have Rodney play some three? Do you have, but Ingles and Cephalosha playing probably most of those 3 minutes? I still think, and I could be totally wrong, I think there'll be a lineup of Jerebko, Joe Johnson, maybe it's Jerebko, Joe Ingles, along with some sort of wing, and we're playing five out. So I think there's just a lot of different variations here, but I think the positive is you may not be asking too much out of him. Now, favors was the most interesting discussion, and I have to be honest, I just don't know. One is, you know, a year ago, everyone likes to point out, a year ago we were talking, is Derek Favors the best player on the team? 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and then he never got right last year. He's been a 30-minute-a-night player his entire career, but we haven't seen a huge amount from Quinn of Gobert and Favors together. And if Rubio's a non-shooter, that might even get more difficult. So I don't have a great answer there, but I thought it was a really interesting kind of conversation with Josh Lloyd about that we got into. I'll answer your questions the best I can about it on Thursday's Facebook Live show. One other note I just thought was really interesting I wanted to get into, and we'll do the fan rag sports thing another day because we're long. Yahoo, Dan Devine does a great job at Ball Don't Lie, and Dan Devine did the NBA 25 under 25, and the first thing he does is says, okay, Anthony Davis has already arrived, so who's coming next? And the five players under 25 he talks about are so interesting. Kristaps Porzingis, 7-footer with this whole versatile skill set. Nikola Jokic, 6'10", big man, but this incredible skill set. Joel Embiid, who I just really doubt ever stays healthy, but let's hope that it works. 7-footer with wide-ranging skill set, not as versatile as the others. Karl Anthony Towns, 7-footer with his 6'10", 6'11", amazing skill set. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo, 6'11". So it's the league of the big man, but it's the league of the versatile, versatile, versatile big man. Really interesting how that all plays. All right, that is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Appreciate your patience during this offseason when we're not putting out shows every day. SeatGeek, promo code LOJAZZ. Employee pricing going on at Murdoch Hyundai. Thanks so much for tuning in. It is Locked On Jazz.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.